This is Case Closed, crime stories from the golden age of radio.
The Linux Show, starring Nick Carter, Master Detective. Presented by Acme, America's great producer of fine quality paints. This is the story of a man known the world over as one of the most daring and resourceful characters in the history of detective fiction. A man whose name has become a symbol of the triumph of right and justice over the sinister forces of crime and lawlessness. A man recognized as one of the great masters of deduction. Nick Carter, Master Detective. Today's exciting case, The Six Statue. Another exciting chapter dramatized from the life story of Nick Carter. In just a moment, we'll hear how Nick Carter investigated a strange plague called Bronze Disease that murdered two people and almost killed a third. And now for today's exciting case from the life of Nick Carter. The regular morning work in the old brownstone mansion at the corner of 5th and 4th begins with Nick's voluminous correspondence. Scores of letters arrive every day. Official, semi-official, friendly, threatening. But every once in a while, a strange note arrives, like the one Patsy is reading to Nick now.
Dear Mr. Nick Carter, you are a famous detective and would not know me as I am only a housemaid. Oh, this writing is terrible. But I have heard you will always help people if they are in trouble. So I am taking the liberty to ask you, would you help me? Mr. Carter, there is bad trouble in the house where I work, Mr. Horace Allen's house on Park Avenue. There is plague in the house, a bad sickness, and I think we will all die. The statues got sick first, and I know we will get it next. Please come and tell me what I should do. Enclosed, please find money order to pay for your trouble. Yours truly, Maisie Leeds.
For the love of Pete.
Oh, I really think this is touching, Nick. Look, here's the money order. $5 whole.
Dennis fee, considering Miss Leeds probably earns only 20 a week. Wish you hadn't sent it. Let's see that letter, Bessie.
Here. Horace Allen. But that's the famous ex-meatpacker, isn't it? 1270 Park. Very rich.
Yes. Letter mailed last night. Written in a great deal of hurry. Notice the ink blots?
Mm-hmm.
Miss Leeds seems rather frightened.
Well, what's all this about plague?
Now, here's the key line. Statues got sick first, and I know we will get it next.
Statues got sick? But what's that mean?
I think we better drive to 1270 Park and find out.
Right now? Oh, can't it wait a few minutes, Nick? We've got so much work to do here, and, well, Miss Maisie Leeds' trouble is probably a very vivid imagination.
You've forgotten. I've been paid a retainer, Fessy. I'm now devoted to the interest of my client. Let's go see Maisie, even if we have to go in through the servant's entrance.
This is a pretty swank mansion for an ex-meatpacker, Nick.
Yes. Heard Mr. Allen's turned to art in his retirement. He collects.
Oh, I wish you'd go back to meat packing for the duration. You can't eat statues and packers.
Very funny. No one home.
Should be servants in the house.
Don't seem to be.
Oh, Nick, you're not going
to... Don't have to. The door's been left ajar. Come on.
Oh, Nick, this isn't right.
I've got a fee to run, Patsy. Come on in. Besides, it's rather unusual for a collector of art to leave the house door open when there's no one home. Oh, there's the library. Let's go in.
Oh, golly. Plenty of stuff here. Paintings, statues. Nick, look at those statues. The bronze ones.
Yes.
They're all greenish and crusted. Like they've got some kind of skin disease.
Those bronze spears, too. And this bronze chest. Wonder how it looks inside.
Maybe this... Dick.
Yes. Looks as if the plague has killed our client. As I'm very much mistaken, this body in the chest is that of Maisie Lee.
I've been through most of the house, Nick. There isn't a soul around. What's happened anyway?
Don't know yet.
Learn anything from the body?
Maisie Lee's all right. Dead about 10 hours. She must have been strangled and placed in this chest just after she mailed that letter to me.
Oh.
Patsy, there's an odd thing about this murder. Looks as if the killer had silver polish in his hands.
Silver polish?
Yes, there's a kind of white powder on Maisie's neck around the strangulation prints. Smells like silver polish.
And Nicky, you'd better notify the police.
No.
Why not?
Listen, Patsy. Maisie Leeds paid me $5 to take on her case. I didn't get her soon enough to save her life, but I am going to get a killer. This is a point of honor. Something Sergeant Matheson wouldn't understand.
Well, what are you doing Nick. Here? Don't move, either of you.
I'd suggest you put that gun away. You might hurt someone.
Answer my question. What are you doing in here? Who are you?
I'm Nick Carter. This is my secretary, Patsy Bowen.
Nick Carter?
Yes.
Well, I'm Peter Craig, Horace Allen's nephew. I was up on the top floor, heard someone calling down here.
That was me.
So I came down. What's the matter, Mr. Carter?
Look in the bronze chest.
Good grief, Maisie.
All right, Craig, I want some quick answers from you. Why was the house empty when we arrived? Where's your uncle? Where are the servants?
Well, there aren't any servants. They all quit yesterday, except Maisie here. Uncle Horace rushed down to the employment agency this morning. That's why I'm alone in the house.
I see. But you didn't see Maisie Leeds this morning?
No, I generally stay in my rooms on the top floor. Uncle Horace just yelled up that he was going to the agency.
What agency?
The Sun Agency on Vanderbilt Street.
One more question, Craig. You know anything about bronze statues?
No.
Who sold these to your uncle?
St. Gennarofield. English dealer at the plaza.
All right. You stay here. Try and locate your uncle on the phone and get him home. We're hustling over to see Arrowfield. I want to find out what 6 statues have got to do with murder.
Believe me, Mr. Carter, that man Allen is an idiot, a fool, an artistic criminal. I should never have sold rare pieces to an ex-meat packer.
Go on.
Antique bronzes are as delicate as tropical fruits. Unless they're cared for with delicacy and understanding, they sicken.
You mean statues can really become sick?
Yes, and die. Bronze disease is a corrosion that eats away the metal, rots it until it crumbles. No one knows how it starts. No one knows how to stop it. Once it attacks a collection, the infected pieces must be removed or the entire collection will die.
Golly.
And bronze disease has attacked Allen's collection?
You saw it, didn't you? The green crumbling crust on the surface of the bronze. And unless he removed the infected pieces, his collection is doomed.
But why did you call him an artistic criminal?
He has $500,000 worth of items there. All the money in the world can't replace one of those pieces once it's lost. Don't you understand? There's nothing more valuable than a work of art.
Oh, yes, there is, Mr. Arrowfield. A human life. Ah, here we are, Patsy. The Sun Employment Agency.
Hmm. Doesn't look very busy.
I'm sorry, nothing available.
We're looking for Mr. Horace Allen.
Not here.
He was here this morning?
Here and gone. Can't supply him with anything.
Why not?
Sleeping quarters are impossible. Nephew's a chemist or something.
Did you say the nephew's a chemist?
Yes, has a laboratory alongside the servants' quarters. Terrible smells all day and all night.
Well, chemist ought to know more about bronze disease than Craig seemed to. Patsy, let's have a talk with that young man right now. Here we are.
Nick, do you think Craig was lying?
Don't know, Patsy. Perfectly possible.
Oh. I hope Mr. Allen's back by this time.
With somebody to answer the door.
At least Craig ought to answer.
Probably back upstairs in his laboratory.
Well,
Nick.
Just my little pick lock, Patsy. Can't wait here all day. 1 second. There we are. Hello? Anybody home?
Funny. You told Craig to stay here.
Well, let's run up to the top floor. We'll find him there.
Walk?
Right. Haven't you noticed? Alan has a neat little private elevator installed.
Oh. Step in. Call your floor, please. First floor, dining room, smoking room, lounge room. Second floor, bedrooms, bedrooms, and more bedrooms. Third floor, hot houses, bedrooms, and more bedrooms. Fourth and top floor, servants' quarters, and... Nick, look, on the floor, it's Craig.
Yes, fourth and top floor, murder. First, a murdered housemaid, then a murdered chemist. How will Nick explain them and solve the mystery of the six statues? We'll see in just a moment. And now back to our story. Investigating a strange complaint about six statues, Nick and Patsy entered the empty home of Horace Allen to discover Allen's housemaid, Maisie Leeds, murdered. Nick finds that Allen's artworks are suffering from a rare disease known as Bronze disease, and also that Allen's nephew, Peter Craig, is an amateur chemist with a laboratory on the top floor of the house. When Nick and Patsy return to the house to question Craig, they find him murdered, too. Now they're in the murdered man's laboratory examining his body.
Well, Nick?
Stabbed through the chest with a brown spear, Patsy. Evidently, one of the spears from Allen's collection.
Golly.
It was a powerful thrust. I see the tip protruding from Craig's back. You can also see it's tainted with the same bronze disease that's hit some of the statues. Ah, hello.
Well, what is it?
Craig didn't die at once.
What do you mean?
Look, here on the floor.
Oh, Craig must have tried to write something in blood as he was dying.
Yes.
It says N-H-L. N-H-L, what's that?
Didn't tell you yet.
Nick, I got it. Initials. The initials.
Him murdered.
The killer.
Maybe.
Couldn't be Allen or Arrowfield or the Sun Agency. Maybe it was one of the old servants.
Hey, what's going on in this house? Where is everybody? What goes here?
Nick, I think I hear...
You don't think you do hear. Our old friend, Sergeant Nettleton.
Hey, anybody home? Craig, Allen. Hey, Mr. Allen, glory be unseen.
Oh, we're real, Sergeant.
Good afternoon, Matty.
Nick Carter and company, I might have known. What are you two? Hey, who's that on the floor?
Peter Craig. Murdered.
Craig, too? He's the guy that called me. First the girl downstairs, now him upstairs. What is this, a massacre?
I'll give you the facts, Matty.
No. Explanations first, if you please, Mr. Carter. Now, look, I warned you 1,000 times when you get mixed up in murder cases to notify homicide. There's a law in this city. Don't you ever do anything but break the law?
Yes, I solve murders. You ought to know.
Yeah, I know, but Nick, please. We've got laws to enforce. Make it as easy as you can for us to enforce them.
Matty, I'm going to help you enforce one law today. The law against first-degree murder. Come on down to Allen's laboratory. So that's exactly where we stand in the case, Matty. The murders are tied up some way.
Is this a matter?
I have an idea how, but I'm not sure yet.
Well, look, what about the insurance angle? Maybe Allen's trying to ruin his own statues to collect the dough.
Oh, no, Matty. He could get more by selling him.
Well, maybe Craig ruined the statues and Allen killed him for revenge.
Maybe, but I doubt it.
Besides, that leaves out Maisie Leeds.
Oh, forget her. She's just an accident in this case.
She's not an accident in this case, and she's not to be forgotten. Matty, you won't understand this, but in this case, I'm working for Maisie Leeds. I'm not working for you or the police.
What's that?
I'm working for justice. Justice for Maisie Leeds.
I think you're crazy.
See, Patsy, I told you.
Well.
Huh?
I'm pleased to see you all here. And a fine lot of people you seem to be. I'm Mr. Allen.
Oh, yeah?
Yes, indeed. Very easy man to work for. Just myself, my nephew in the house. Big house, few people, not too difficult, eh? I suppose the agency explained.
Mr. Allen.
You're the housemaid, eh? Very pretty, my dear. Very pretty.
Mr. Allen, your housemaid is Miss Patsy Bowen, my assistant.
Who was?
I am Nick Carter.
Nick Carter?
I'm going to be blunt, Mr. Allen. No sense beating around the bush. Your maid, Maisie Lead, was strangled to death. Your nephew, Peter Craig, was stabbed to death.
What?
Well, help him in the chair, Matty.
Right, Nick. Thank you. I'll be all right.
I didn't spare you because we're pressed for time, Mr. Allen. The killer may strike again. We've got to work fast. Now, where were you all day?
At the employment agencies, trying to hire servants.
A likely story.
It's true. I had to have them in the house today. I have a very important guest arriving on the 6:30 train from Washington.
Says you.
You can get the list of agencies to Mr. Allen and check the story later, Matty.
Yeah, okay.
Mr. Allen, I want to take one of your statues home with me. One of the diseased ones.
I'm sorry, I can't permit that, Mr. Carter. My guest coming tonight.
But you ought to remove the stick statues anyway, Mr. Allen. Mr. Arafield said so. Why, they'll infect everything.
I know, but I can't. My guest is a famous collector and wants to buy some of my pieces. I've got to show him all of them.
I see. Well, in that case, we've got to work without your help. Come on, Patsy. We'll be in my lab if anything breaks, Matty.
Right.
Oh, by the way, Mr. Allen, what's the name of this famous collector who is visiting you tonight?
Norman Lane. Norman Hadley Lane.
Patsy, turn off the Bunsen burner, will you?
Of course. Nick, I just realized what Alan said.
What's that, Patsy?
The man coming up on the 6:30 train from Washington. Norman Hadley Lane. NHL.
Mm-hmm. Founded a couple of museums. Didn't file on him.
But the letters, NHL, that's his initials.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, Nick, you're not listening.
Just finishing this analysis, Patsy. Here. See this precipitate?
Yes.
That's the silver polish from Maisie Lee's throat.
Is it silver polish?
No. Something that came from Peter Craig's lab. I'll hand me that package I brought from Allen's house.
Here.
Thanks. I'll wrap this.
Nick, you don't seem to care about the initials. I'll bet Lane's the killer. I bet he isn't even on the train. He's probably here already.
Nick,
that's the spear that killed Craig.
Right.
But that's the illegal evidence. Oh, golly, Sergeant Matheson's going to be sore.
Allen would let me have a sample of the diseased bronze. We had to steal it. Now let's cut a sliver of bronze off the tip of the spear. I'm going to take a look at it under the microscope.
Now, you're destroying evidence. Oh, Nick, I don't like it.
Not destroying. I'm just taking off a shaving. There. Now, let's see.
Well? What do you see, germs?
Yeah, well, if you have a look. You see? This is a slice across the tip of the spear. Now, you see the outer portion?
Those crystals all around the edges?
Yes. The malachite crystals. Shows the presence of the brown disease. Now, what do you see inside, toward the core of the section?
Just reddish metal.
Exactly. Amorphous bronze metal. Just pure, uncrystallized bronze. And that, Miss Bowen, breaks the case wide open.
Why, what do you mean, Nick?
I mean that... Oh, I'll get it. Hello?
Nick Carter?
Speaking, who's this?
Here's a tip for you, Mr. Nick Carter. If you want to find who killed Peter Craig, watch the clerk from the Sun Employment Agency.
Quick, Patsy, get a line on this call, please.
Right.
Afraid I don't follow you.
The clerk from the Sun Employment Agency. You'll find him at the Hotel Brighton. Now, he'll tell you who killed Craig.
Just let me get that down, will you? Hotel Brighton. Whereabouts is that?
I've talked long enough. You know what to do. Goodbye.
Oh, it's no use, Patsy. I couldn't hold him long enough. You get any kind of a trace?
No. Sorry.
Well, it doesn't matter. Get Matty on the phone. Tell him we're picking him up and taking him for a ride.
To the Hotel Brighton?
Just tell him the killer will be at the other end of the ride.
All right. right, Nick. Never mind the Mysterioso stuff. Where are we going?
Thought Patsy told you, Matty, to meet a murderer.
Where?
Didn't Patsy tell you that?
The Hotel Brighton.
Then we're going the wrong way. The Brighton's downtown in the village. You're driving uptown.
That's right.
But Nick, the man on the phone said that...
The man on the phone was wrong, Patsy. Here we are. This is where we're going.
Huh?
What time is it?
6:25.
Just in time. Come on.
Oh, this is Pennsylvania Station.
Right. And we're going to meet the Washington train.
You mean to tell me the killer is this Lane guy? Norman Hadley Lane?
That's who we're going to meet. We'll have to move quickly. We haven't much time.
Oh, but Nick,
we'll talk later, Patsy. I'm afraid to cut it rather fine. We've got to get to the lower level and be on the platform when the train pulls in. This way.
If this is a wild goose chase, Nick...
When I heard you're wrong, you can say that, Matty. Not until then. Down this ramp.
Right.
Now, that's the Washington train. Quick.
We'll never get through the crowd.
We've got to.
Here are pictures of Lane.
Yeah,
take him. Can't miss him. He's a big man, quite stout. Heavy grayish beard. Looks like Edward VII. Look sharp. Now we mustn't miss him.
Now listen, Nick.
This is no time for arguments, Matty. We'd better locate Lane as soon as he gets off that train. Now stand by.
Right.
I'll take the center. You watch right. Matty, you take the left.
Okay.
Fat man, Edward VII, beard.
Oh, what a crowd. I think...
Oh, the only witch car.
Hold it. There he is. Car in front of us. Quick, Matty. Forward.
Wait.
It's a Lane. It's a Norman Lane. Norman Hadley Lane. Get down. Get down.
Nick, what are you doing?
He's tackling him.
Yeah. Matty, you got him?
Yes, I got him, Nick.
All right, hold on to him.
All right.
Let's take him to the station master's office. We can call the wagon from there.
Well, it is quieter at least.
Hey, Nick, why didn't you warn me it was going to be an assassination?
Didn't know when it was going to happen.
What about Mr. Lane?
Oh, I just put him in a cab. He's all right. He was pretty well shaken up when I knocked him out of the way of the bullets. But that's a lot better than a shot through the heart. Mr. Arrowfield?
Why, you dirty gumshoe snooper. I'd like...
Hold on a minute, Matty. He's a dangerous little man and a very clever actor. Phony Englishman, phony dealer in art objects, including phony bronzes.
Phony bronzes?
Certainly, Patsy. That was the whole motivation. When Mr. Allen took up collecting objects of art, Arrowfield got hold of them and sold him a lot of supposedly antique bronze masterpieces. But in reality, they were completely phony, being merely modern copies of those masterpieces. And unless I'm wrong, Mr. Norman Lane owned many of the originals from which Allen's bronzes were copied.
Well, Nick, what about that bronze disease?
When Arrowfield learned that Lane was coming to see Allen's collection, he knew Lane would recognize many of Allen's bronzes as copies of items in his own collection.
Yeah?
So Arrowfield, in order to force Allen to remove those phony pieces from his collection, deliberately infected them with a bronze disease.
What do you know?
Allen refused to remove them in spite of the disease, so Arrowfield had to do the next best thing, kill Lane. Otherwise, he faced exposure as a dealer in fakes and phony pieces. The murder of Lane, fortunately, didn't succeed. The others did. And I'm going to see that you pay for them, Arrowfield. I want to be sure that Maisie Leeds, wherever she is now, gets her full $5 worth.
In just a moment, Nick will be back to give you the final details of today's story and tell you how he knew Arrowfield was the poisoner of the sick statue. And now let's hear from Nick Carter himself.
Nick, I don't see why Arrowfield killed Maisie Leeds.
Because when Maisie returned from mailing her letter to me, she saw Arrowfield in the collection room deliberately infecting the false antique bronze statues with a bronze disease. She was killed to silence her.
But how could Arrowfield poison the statues?
Well, Patsy, as Allen's guide and mentor in the new business of collecting, Arrowfield had easy access to the house. He was able to steal in and infect those statues with chemicals he took from Craig's laboratory. To be precise, with ammonium chloride. That's the corrosive agent that causes bronze disease.
Oh, and was that the powder you found on Maisie's neck?
Right. Some of it was on Arrowfield's hands when he strangled her. Evidently, Craig remembered seeing Arrowfield in his lab taking the chemical, so Arrowfield killed him.
But those initials Craig wrote.
Oh, they weren't initials, Patsy. Craig tried to write the chemical symbol for ammonium chloride, NH4Cl.
Mm-hmm.
He wrote the N and the H and got as far as the first elbow stroke of 4 and then died. We thought he'd written NHL, which, purely by coincidence, happened to be Lane's initials.
Oh, I see. So, Nick, you said Arrowfield's bronzes were 4. How could you tell that?
Apache, remember this afternoon in my lab? You looked through the microscope at a piece of that spear that killed Craig?
Yes.
Well, really ancient bronzes become heavily crystallized through the years. But the piece we examined was crystallized only around the outer surface, showing that it was cast quite recently.
So that's it. Well, was Arthur trying to sidetrack you with that phone call so he could get it lame when you arrived in town?
Yes.
Oh, lucky you weren't fooled.
Well, you know, it's a funny thing, Patsy. I've met thousands of crooks in my time, each one more clever than the next. And believe it or not, the only ones they fooled in the end were themselves.
Well, Nick, what story are we going to tell next week?
Remember the time we drove south to investigate the mystery of a legendary giant called Erdman the Earthshaker, whose footsteps apparently frightened the man to death?
Oh, yes. The clues to the case were green rice grains on the dead man's hand and a drop of blood on a bird feather.
Right.
What are you going to call the story?
The Case of the Bleeding Bobolink.
Nick Carter, Master Detective, is copyrighted by Street & Smith Publications, Incorporated. Long Clark is starred as Nick. Charlotte Manson plays Patsy. Script is by Alfred Bester, and any resemblance in these programs to actual persons, living or dead, is purely coincidental. The entire production is under the direction of Jock McGregor. Nick Carter, Master Detective, is presented at this time and over these same stations each week by the three great Linex home brighteners. Linex self-polishing wax, Linex cream polish, and Linex clear gloss, created by Acme, America's great producer of Acme fine quality paints. This is Ken Powell speaking for the thousands of Linex dealers all over America and saying so long until next week.
Sergeant Waters. Where was the car parked? 61st and what? Were the doors locked? Yeah. What kind of a car is it? What is
You're in the muster room at the 21st Precinct, the nerve center. A call is coming through. You will follow the action taken pursuant to that call from this minute until the final report is written in the 124 room at the 21st Precinct.
All right. You're coming to the station house. We'll have to take a report from you. That's right. It's between Lexington and 3rd. As soon as you can. Yeah. All right.
21st Precinct. It's just lines on a map of the city of New York. Most of the 173,000 people wedged into the 9/10 of a square mile between 5th Avenue and the East River wouldn't know if you asked them that they lived or worked in the 21st. Whether they know it or not, the security of their homes, their persons, and their property is the job of the men of the 21st Precinct.
The 21st, 160 patrolmen, 11 sergeants, and 4 lieutenants, of whom I'm the boss. My name is Kennelly, Frank Kennelly. I'm captain in command of the 21st. I was working my night tour, 4 p.m. to 8 a.m. At 6, after I had turned out the platoon, interviewed an applicant for a tow truck license, and cleaned up considerable paperwork, I instructed Sergeant Waters on TS to have sector car number 1 come by the station house and take me on patrol of the precinct. Patrol of the precinct by the commanding officer, in addition to responding to emergency radio calls as they occur, generally involves a personal check of conditions concerning which complaints from the public have been received. In connection with the investigation of such a complaint, I instructed Patrolman Coley, the operator of sector car number 1, to drive to 88th Street and Madison Avenue. At 7:20 p.m., we were in the car proceeding uptown on Park Avenue in the 70s. The weather was cold and extremely windy.
So, when the landlord came to collect the rent, I happened to be home.
Uh-huh.
I invited him to come in the living room and sit down. He said, "You're almost 2 weeks late with the rent, Mr. Coley." I said, "I know it." I said, "I wrote you a letter and told you we wouldn't pay the rent until you sent somebody to fix the refrigerator." He said, "I was stalling him, trying to pull my badge that I was a cop on him. Was going to write the commissioner and make a complaint against me."
How do you like that, Captain?
Well, what did you say?
Well, I told him to write anybody he wanted to write. Still wasn't going to get the rent until the refrigerator was fixed. I don't know what these guys think they can get away with.
Well, some of them try, Coney.
Yes, sir.
After the light changes, take a left into 77. Go up Madison the rest of the way.
Yes, sir.
Yeah. What do you think of those two guys in the Cadillac?
Yeah.
They look so good to me.
They're sure making an effort to act calm, aren't they?
Yes, sir.
When the light changes, take off behind them. We get a look at the registration plate.
Yeah, but two guys that didn't own a new Cadillac, that's them.
All right. There's the light. Let them go ahead. Okay. Let's talk to him, Coley.
Yes.
Watch out. They don't try to pull away from you.
They could, too.
All right. Give them the horn.
Pull over there! Pull over!
Go for it. No, they're not.
It's okay. Mark them off when they stop.
Yes, sir.
I'll take the driver.
Yes, sir.
You take the other side.
Watch him now.
Yes.
What's the trouble, officer?
That's what we want to find out. Let's see the registration. And your operator's license.
Oh, I forgot to take them. They're unaddressed. We made every light, didn't we?
Yeah, every light.
You. Keep your hands up there where I can see them.
Is this your car?
Well, as a matter of fact, no.
Well, whose is it?
A friend of ours. Right, Ruby?
Yeah, right. A friend lent it.
He lent you the car, but not the keys, huh?
Well, you see what
happened. Keep your hands on the steering wheel.
Right, I'll keep them there. I'll keep them.
And they got a jumper on the ignition, Captain.
Are those your suitcases in the back?
Not of his.
Who said they were mine? I didn't.
Come on.
Out this way.
Out of the car?
Come on.
Both of you.
Now, keep your hands where we can see them.
You. Lean up against the car there.
Yeah?
Right there, yeah. Come on around, Coley.
Yes, sir.
All right, you. Right next to him.
I, for one, would like to know what this is all about.
So would I.
Lean up there.
I'm leaning.
Okay, Captain, I got him covered.
All right. You first. Hold still.
I got nothing. What are you worried about? I'm carrying nothing.
Oh. What do you call this?
A pen knife, that's what it is. Ain't a guy entitled to have a pen knife?
Not with an 8-inch blade.
Well, I use it to peel apples. I like apples.
All right, just keep quiet. Now, you. Hold still.
Look, I was doing nothing.
He asked me if I'd like to take a ride.
I asked
quiet.
You.
I got two witnesses to prove he asked me. His cousin's car, he said.
What cousin?
All right.
I got no cousin.
What's your name?
Me?
You.
Leon Gamer.
Where do you live?
361 South Street.
In Manhattan?
Yeah, in Manhattan.
How old are you?
22.
Where'd you steal the car?
It belongs to his cousin.
I thought you said it belonged to your friend.
His cousin is my friend.
I got no cousin. What's your name?
Protea, Reuben Protea.
Where do you live?
289 East 109th Street. Not my cousin. I got no cousin.
Then who's the man?
What man?
Okay.
What man?
That's enough.
All right, enough.
Keep your eye on him, Coley.
Yes, sir.
I'll ring in for some help.
Come on, just stay like that. Don't move.
675.
681 to Central. Okay. At 79th Street and Park Avenue, northeast corner. We require assistance in handling two prisoners in a stolen car. Okay. Okay, Coley, they're sending another car over.
Yes,
I did nothing. Nothing.
Don't say my cousin. I got no cousin.
Go for a ride. Get some air. That's all I was invited to do. Well, you've got another invitation now, mister. To a party. You're giving it. Within 2 minutes, sector car number 4, Patrolman Joe Ryan, operator, and Patrolman Daniel Ziegler, recorder, arrived at the scene. A more thorough search of the prisoner's persons was conducted. No additional weapons were found. We also made a search of the 1953 Cadillac sedan. The ignition had been jumped to enable the thieves to start the car without a key. Although the favorite tool of car thieves, a beer can opener, was found on the floor of the car, there were no marks on any doors or windows indicating that the car had been broken into. In the back seat were two large suitcases and two smaller ones. The glove compartment was locked, so was the luggage compartment. Sergeant Fred Burns arrived on the scene with his car and operator. Sector car number 4 was instructed to resume patrol. Both prisoners were loaded into the space behind the front seat of sector car number 1 and were driven to the station house in the custody of Patrolman Coley and myself. Sergeant Byrne followed, driving the Cadillac, which he parked in the passageway next to the station. The two prisoners, carrying the luggage that was in the car, were taken directly upstairs to the 21st Detective Squad by Patrolman Coley and myself.
All right, go on. Move along.
We're moving. We're moving. Something's heavy.
That way. Go ahead.
Why I gotta listen to you, I don't know.
Listen to me what?
Okay. Every time I listen to you, I wind up in a jam.
Every time.
Inside.
Drive up Park Avenue, he said. There's lots of Cadillacs on Park Avenue.
Well, ain't that Park Avenue's lousy with Cadillacs?
Over there to the desk. So why did this one have to stick out like a covered wagon?
Where do I put the bag?
Hold on over for a minute.
You catching Novak?
Yeah. What you got there? The Brinks Bandit?
Hello, Captain.
Novak?
Now, we jumped him on 79th and Park driving a Cadillac.
Not this.
I wouldn't expect it to be.
Well, it's a free country, ain't it? I could own a Cadillac.
Yeah, you could, but if I were you, I'd buy a pair of shoes first.
But where'd you steal the car?
Look at me, look at him. I was just along for the ride.
You were driving, so that makes who along for the ride? Me, that's who.
When do you want the suitcases, Captain?
Hold on to them.
Look, what is this, Grand Central Station?
Hold on to them.
All right, all right. You don't have to take offense just because I made a remark.
Where's Lieutenant King, Novak, in his office?
Yes, sir. You, what's your name?
Me?
I'll be in there with
you.
Yes, sir.
Frontier, Reuben Frontier.
All right,
what do you live for?
Captain Kennelly. Hello, Matt.
Captain,
leave the door open, would you?
Yeah, sure.
Get off the heat and hair, gets ice cold. Leave it on, burns up. That radiator knows no middle ground.
Well, what have we got out there?
I was on patrol with Coley. We jumped a couple of thieves in a Cadillac.
Oh, good work, Captain.
Car's got Illinois plates. There were some suitcases in the back seat.
No.
The car's not in the alarms or in the automobile list.
They say where they got it, Captain?
No, they didn't say anything yet, Matt.
They will. Let's have a look at them.
Sure. You know, they look like a couple of users to me, Matt.
Oh, wouldn't be surprised.
You don't need a job to have an occupation, do you?
Well, that's true. That's very true.
All right, what's your occupation?
Well, you know the guys that put down linoleum and tiles on the floors?
Yeah.
Is that what you do?
No.
I'm a helper. The linoleum layer, he says, hey, Leon, get this, get that. So I get it for him. That's my occupation.
Yeah.
Only I ain't working.
What do you call stealing Cadillac?
What's this? A new ingredient has been added.
Lieutenant King.
Hey, Ruby, a lieutenant and a captain both. That's better than last time, huh?
Yeah, we're getting up in the world.
When was last time?
When?
I don't know.
3-4 weeks ago.
Before Christmas. Before Christmas, huh, Ruby?
After Thanksgiving.
Oh, I'll kill him.
Where was it?
Down in my neighborhood in the village. All we had then was detectives. Now a lieutenant and a captain. Boy, this is living.
Yeah, living. I should join you.
Where was it? 6th Precinct?
Yeah, I think so. Is that right, Ruby?
I don't know. The police stations all look alike.
What'd you get picked up for?
Stealing out of cars. They caught us with a key that we took out of a car down there.
What happened to Kate?
Oh, we're out on bail. $2,000 bail. $1,000 for him, $1,000 for me.
So you're out thieving again.
Oh, well, listen. A bondsman costs us $50 apiece. We got to pay for him some way, don't we? We got to live, don't we? We got to live high.
High on a hog, that's us, right, Ruby?
Right, high on a hog.
Stick around, boys. We'll show you how to come down a notch.
You are listening to 21st Precinct, a factual account of the way police work in the world's largest city.
Detectives of the 21st Squad, under the supervision of Lieutenant King, began to make a case of grand larceny automobile against the two suspects, Leon Gamer and Ruben Frontier. As required by law, the suspects were fingerprinted by Detective Novak. The locked suitcases found on the rear seat of the automobile were moved into Lieutenant King's office. The 6th Detective Squad in Greenwich Village was telephoned for information concerning their arrest in that precinct and the charge of grand larceny already pending against them. Although it was obvious the car had been stolen, no report of the theft was in the alarm, nor had one been received by the Communications Bureau. As frequently happens, it appeared that stolen property had been recovered before the owner was even aware it was missing. While the arresting officer, Patrolman Coley, kept one suspect under guard in the squad office, the other, Leon Gamer, was questioned by Lieutenant King in his office in the presence of myself and Detective Novak.
Pretty suitcase, isn't it, Leon?
Personally, I don't like the color, but it's pretty, yeah.
And heavy.
You're telling me I had to lug it up the stairs.
It's heavy. There must be a lot of good stuff in there.
Maybe telephone books.
Suit, tie, shirt, maybe even jewelry or money.
Yeah, maybe.
Why don't you try to open it? Or any of the others?
Oh, now I ask you, would that be honest?
Look, Leon, save your comedy routine for the tombs. We're trying to get someplace here. I'm going to find out who that stuff belongs to.
I knew, I tell you. You think I got to be personally acquainted with somebody before I touch their car?
My point is, you couldn't have been far from where you lifted the car before you were jumped by the officers.
No, not too far, I don't guess.
Because if it was more than a mile away, you'd have had the catches on that bag pried open to see what was inside.
Look, I don't know exactly where it was. I don't carry a map around in my head.
We pulled up together for that light on 77th and Park. How long before that was it?
Not long.
Was it below 72nd Street?
72nd Street? Yeah, it could be.
And you drove at least six blocks on Park Avenue.
Oh, more. Much more.
Was it farther downtown than 72nd Street? You got the car?
Look, Lieutenant, you want me to be honest with you?
I want you to make the effort.
You want the whole story, what happened?
Yes.
I got nothing to hide. I'm hooked. If you'll have the patience, I'll give you the best of my recollection.
All right, give it to us.
I'll get it, Lieutenant.
Okay. Okay, Leon, the best of your recollection.
21st Squad, Detective Novak.
Let's have it.
I can't concentrate with somebody on the phone.
Captain Canelli, Sergeant Waters on CS for you.
Okay.
But can you wait a second?
All right.
Thanks, Novak.
Yes, sir. Captain Canelli.
Sergeant Waters on TS, Captain.
Yes, Sergeant.
Yes, that calls the 17th rang up here.
Yeah?
A motorcycle patrolman skidded on a patch of ice coming off the east of a drive at 53rd Street.
Oh, has he heard that?
They took him to Bellevue. Possible fractured leg.
All right. Bring the desk officer back and tell him I'm on my way. And have a car come by the house for me.
Yes, sir.
Cop hurt in the 17th, Matt. I've got division tonight. I'll have to go investigate it.
Pretty bad.
A broken leg, they say.
Well,
I once broke a leg jumping over a fence when I was a kid.
We don't want your life history, Leon. Just what happened tonight.
Look, if he's going to go, let him go. I can't concentrate with the interruptions.
The captain has to wait for a car to come in and get him. You don't worry about what we do. You worry about yourself. We'll give you plenty on your mind. Now, what happened?
Well, I met Ruby.
Where?
I'll tell you if you give me the chance. Met him in a bar and grill on 110th Street. We were sitting there having a couple of beers, and he said, "How much dough you got?" I said, "Why?" Well, he said his brother wanted some of the money back, the $50 he borrowed from his brother to pay the bondsman. I said, "Don't look at me. I'm living from hand to mouth, too. I didn't pay back the money I borrowed to pay the bondsman." And we got to talking about how the trial is set next month, and even if we cop a plea, we're sure to get no less than 2 years of peace out of it. We got a lawyer to pay, and we still owe for the bail. And here we are with not $5 between us.
Not even enough for a good jolt, huh?
Oh, look, don't get me wrong. I don't mess around with that stuff. Just jippy once in a while. I got no big habit.
So you got $5 between you.
Yeah. Well, I don't know who mentioned it first, me or Ruby, but one of us said, let's get downtown, see if we can make some money. So we finished the beer and got on the Madison Avenue bus. We went downtown.
Why'd you get off?
You'll have to ask Ruby that. I got no idea. He said, come on. I got off. We walked around a little bit. I don't know. We saw this caddy parked there. I looked in and there were these suitcases in the back. I looked at Ruby and we walked by. He said a cinch. The button isn't down on the back door. So we walked to the corner, turned around and come back, just like we owned the car. We walked up, opened the door and got in. I was behind the driver's seat. 1, 2, 3. Ruby was on the floor and had the ignition jump. Like a flash. You know, he's quick, that kid. He's got a real talent. He said, go. I went. And that's that.
Well, I'll see you, Matt.
Okay, Captain.
So long, Captain.
All right.
Don't go away mad. I'll, check with you, huh, Matt?
Yes, sir.
Well, looks like you'll have to go to court in the morning, Cooley.
Yes, sir.
Hey, what's up, Russ?
Can't you keep quiet for 2 seconds?
Well, I try. Don't say I don't try. Had a dentist appointment, but that would be hard to cancel.
All right. I'll leave instructions with the desk officer that you're to go on reserve after you get those two books in.
Yes, sir. Thanks, Captain.
It was a good caller.
Hey, what gives in there? What's he telling him?
You'll get your turn, Ruby. Well, see you later, Tony.
Yes, sir.
Good, boss?
Yeah.
You know, when I was a kid, I wanted to be a cop.
Well, at least you got to know a few.
There was this cop over there on my block, a regular guy. I wanted to be like him. And I got to hate him.
Yeah?
He took me in. Grabbed me by the collar, took me in. And for what? For nothing. For stealing. So I decided not to be a cop.
Well, he had a pretty good reason.
What's he telling him in there? How much could there be to say? You think I could talk? That Leon, boy, chew your arm off. I got nothing against cops. I even like you.
Thanks.
Oh, but that's nothing. Don't be too glad. I like everybody. Even Leon. If anybody could like Leon. He ain't very particular about his friends.
What's he telling him, do you think?
All about the deal, I guess.
Well, he can leave something for me to say. I'll go in there and stand like a dope. They'll know everything I got to tell him. Oh, here he comes.
All right, go over there and sit down, Leon.
Over where?
Over here with him?
That's right.
Come on, Ruby.
And what'd you tell him, Leon?
Get going, Ruby. My life history, A to Z.
Well, what'd you tell him about me?
Come on.
Yeah, all right.
Just don't make me out a liar to them.
How could I tell him? I don't know what you said.
Inside. Sit down over here.
Yeah. Right here?
Yep.
I want a lawyer.
You can have a million lawyers.
I can't afford a million. All I want is one.
All right. We'll call whatever lawyer you want. Tell him to be in Felony Court at 10 a.m. tomorrow.
Felony Court, that's downtown?
100 Center Street, Criminal Courts Building.
All right. Talk to me after I talk to my lawyer. Right now, I got nothing to say.
Well, Leon had plenty to say.
Well, that's his business. I don't care.
Sure thinks a lot of you.
I can't say vice versa.
Thinks you're the most talented boy he knows. Doesn't think anybody can snap a lock on a car, get in, and jump the ignition as fast as you.
Did he say that?
Yeah.
That's nice of him, you know.
Said he can't think of a thief he'd rather work with.
I didn't think Leon had a compliment in his body.
12 seconds of your record.
Nah.
Break open the door, jump the ignition, start the car in 12 seconds.
Nah, not 12. I could maybe 15, not 12.
That's what he said.
Well, you know, Leon ain't no slouch either, you know.
Uh-huh.
Of course, I handled that caddy tonight, but I seen him turn some fast tricks, too. And between us, I guess we could get in almost any lot. Any lot.
Oh. Well, we'll give you a new challenge, Ruby.
Yeah, what's that?
Sing Sing. Try the locks up there.
By 8:45, no alarm had come through on the Cadillac sedan with Illinois license plate. Lieutenant King had been in touch with both the auto squad and the correspondence bureau of the central office. It was agreed that if the auto were not heard from within another hour, a telegram would be sent to the Illinois State Highway Patrol at Springfield with a request that the name of the owner be ascertained and the check made at the residence. Meanwhile, I was at the 17th Precinct Station House on East 51st Street. There, I entered in the blotter the results of my investigation of the injury to the motorcycle patrolman. I'd been to Bellevue Hospital and got a statement from both the officer and the doctor attending him. I'd seen the sector man and the sergeant who responded to the original call concerning the accident. In cases involving injury to a police officer in the line of duty, the manual of procedure requires a complete and immediate investigation of the facts by the commanding officer of the precinct or a captain on night duty in the division because of the possibility of sick leave with full pay and eventual disability retirement of the man. I returned to the 21st at 9:05 p.m. The car pulled up in front of the station house, and as I got out, I instructed the operator to pick up his partner and resume patrol. I crossed the sidewalk and started up the steps of the station house.
Excuse me.
Yeah?
This is the police station, isn't it?
That's right, yes.
Go ahead, Alicia.
Seems nothing is safe anymore. Nothing. Thank you very much.
What's the trouble, sir? Go ahead.
Thank you.
I want to talk to the person in charge here.
Well, I'm the captain in command of the precinct.
Well, I do. I'm sorry, I didn't see your insignia in the dark. Didn't you?
Oh, what an old, smelly building, Edward. Are the police stations in Chicago this old?
How would I know? Captain, our car has been stolen.
Oh, has it?
He just told you it had.
What kind of car?
A Cadillac sedan.
You said you were from Chicago?
Yes, that's right, Chicago. Captain, it's absurd the way criminals are allowed to run around on the streets of New York. To steal our car from practically under our nose, that's no way to treat visitors, is it?
Well, sir, I don't think thieves stop to find out if their victim is a New Yorker or a visitor. They're out to steal, not discriminate. I don't believe you told me what your name was.
Private. Edward J. Private.
I'm Captain Kennelly.
And Mrs. Private.
How do you do,
Mrs. Private?
Well, if you're in charge, sir, how can we get some action? Our luggage was in the car, you know. We were leaving for Florida tonight, driving to Philadelphia tonight, starting out the first thing from there in the morning for Palm Beach.
You have no idea what he's done to our vacation. No idea.
I can imagine, Mrs. Simon. Would you excuse me just a second? We're not going to get the runaround, are we?
No, sir. I've got to go over to the desk and sign the blotter. You just wait here. I'll be right back. Hello, Captain.
Sergeant.
A couple of messages for you. All right, I'll sign the blotter.
Yes, sir.
21st Precinct, Sergeant Waters. What was that, mister? I didn't hear you. The bartender what? Were you speaking to the phone? Oh, he wouldn't sell you anymore, huh? No, there's nothing we can do to him. We ought to pin a medal on him. Well, you better not worry about drinking any more tonight. Better go on home and go to sleep. Yeah? Well, go on home and go to sleep. I'm sure you will.
You got those messages, Sergeant?
Yes, sir. I saw those people hook you as they came in the door, Captain. You want me to bail you out with them?
No. Oh, thanks, Sergeant. This one I want to handle myself.
Yes, sir.
All right, Mr. and Mrs. Bradford, we'll go upstairs to the detectives, all right? This way, please.
A lot of good it'll do. The car's gone for good. Gone, I know it's gone. And all my clothes with it. Fine place for decent people to come, New York.
Did you lock your car when you left it?
Why, of course we locked it. Through here, please.
Thank you.
You know, even if it was locked, four suitcases on the back seat look pretty attractive to thieves. It was a sedan, you say? Four doors. You might have locked three. Upstairs, please.
I'm positive I locked all four doors. I always do.
Uh-huh.
Where was the car parked?
On 61st Street near Park Avenue. After I finished some business, we checked out of the hotel. We were going to this restaurant, Lescargot. Do you know it, Captain?
I've been in there, yes. That way, please.
The most absurd thing in the world. Just absurd. You'll never get anything back, any.
Right here.
Oh, thank you.
Miss Pilford, no protection. There's no police protection at all.
Well, if that's a complaint, Mr. Pilford, you're talking to the wrong man. I'm responsible for the police protection here. You should complain about me, not to me.
Maybe I will. Over here, please.
Hey, Leon, here comes the Captain Bird again.
Hi, Cap. Sit there and be quiet.
Those men criminals?
They're suspects, Mrs. Byron.
Oh.
Novak, is Lieutenant King in?
Yes, sir, he is.
Thanks. Captain Connelly. Inside, please.
Yes.
This is Lieutenant King, Mr. and Mrs. Edward Pryford of Chicago, Illinois.
Oh?
How do you do?
Mrs. Pryford.
Lieutenant, Mr. and Mrs. Pryford are looking for some fast action. Their car has been stolen. And some luggage.
I see.
I don't know what we can expect, but I want
to... Do you have the registration for your car, Mr. Pryford?
Don't you believe that I own it?
Oh, yes, I believe it. I'd like to see your registration.
Gets to be a question of who gets investigated, the victims or the thieves.
Oh. There you are. Thank you. Do you mind looking on that table behind you?
What?
Is that your luggage?
Edward, it is.
Have you got the car, too?
Yes, we've got it.
Well, Edward, some of it's missing. There was more. In the trunk, there were three more bags.
What about that?
You've got the keys to the trunk in your pocket. We haven't touched it. The other bags are still in the luggage compartment.
The car's not damaged, is it?
No, not a scratch. Huh? Was that the thieves? Those two boys outside. You saw them.
Yeah, well, does everything look all right, Alicia?
Yes, I think so. I think so. But this vanity case has a little scratch on it.
Oh, does it? Sorry.
But it might have been there.
Well, I suppose that covers everything.
Not quite everything, Mr. Crawford.
No?
You might say thank you.
Oh, I'm sorry. Thank you, Captain. We're really deeply obliged.
You're welcome, Mr. Pryman.
Precinct, Sergeant Waters. What do you mean, robbed, lady? Held up? Oh, burglars. When did this happen? During the night? Yeah? Yes, ma'am. The front door, huh? Well, what's the address there? Did you say 1405 or 1409? The candy store. Yeah? Well, what are they
saying? And so it goes, around the clock, through the week, every day, every year.
A police precinct in the city of New York is a flesh and blood merry-go-round. Anyone can catch the brass ring. Or the brass ring can catch anyone.
21st Precinct, a factual account of the way the police work in the world's largest city, is presented with the official cooperation of the Patrolmen's Benevolent Association, an organization of more than 20,000 members of the Police Department, City of New York. Everett Sloan in the role of Captain Kennelly, Ken Lynch as Lieutenant King. Featured in tonight's cast were Ethel Everett, John Sylvester, Bill Lipton, Mandel Kramer, John Martin, Wendell Holmes, and Harold Stone. Written and directed by Stanley Niss. Produced for CBS Radio by John Ives. Art Hanna speaking.